the spiritual manner of them, both thinking and doing such things as are well pleasing to thee. For thou art the illumination of our souls and bodies, O Christ our God, and unto thee do we send up glory together with thy Father, who is without beginning, and the now holy with the life-giving Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages. Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, Is not this who sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. He said, I am he. Therefore they said to him, How were your eyes opened? He answered and said, A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and I received my sight. Then they said to him, Where is he? He said, I do not know. They brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Now it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. He said to them, He put clay in my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Therefore some of the Pharisees said, This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath. Others said, How can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them. They said to the blind man again, What do you say about him because he opened your eyes? He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son who you say was born blind? And how then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age, ask him. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, He is of age, ask him. So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, Give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. Then they said to him again, What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already, you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. The man answered and said to them, Why, this is a marvel, that you do not know where he is from. Yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Then they answered and said to him, You are completely born in sins, and you are teaching us. And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, Do you believe in the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And just Jesus said to him, You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. Then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Christ is risen. Christo ha resuscitato. Christo ha enviat. Christo ha scresse. Christo ha desti. Did I miss anybody? Christo ha scresse. Christ is risen. The Lord says that this man born blind, that this man was born blind, so that the works of God might be manifest in him. Listening to these dominical words of our Lord in this Paschal liturgical season, one immediately understands this blind man to be an image of mankind. And this is, in fact, is confirmed by the prayers of the Church, where we learn that this man born blind is a living sign of Israel's faithlessness, that is to say, of her idolatry, and that his blindness from birth reflects our soul's spiritual blindness, and that the substance of our spiritual blindness is our enslavement to sin. As St. Paul writes, I am carnal, sold under sin. I'm not spiritual anymore. My heart, where I am deep beyond all things, as it says in the Septuagint translation, has become desperately corrupt, as it says in the Masoretic text of the prophet Jeremiah. My default inner orientation is no longer toward the transcendent spiritual depths of my soul. It's toward the flesh. Was like a flower of the field, here today, gone tomorrow, as the psalmist says. But God created man to be immortal, says wisdom. He made him to be an image of his own eternity. Death and its symbol, blindness, is not natural to us. St. Paul goes on, I do not understand my own actions. Nothing good dwells within me. That is to say, blindness dwells within me. Death dwells within me. Nothing good dwells within me in my flesh. I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Sin, turning away from God, has disabled my will and darkened my soul with spiritual blindness, forgetfulness, and ignorance of God. This blindness manifests itself in me as emotional and mental disorders of all kinds that can afflict me and that I can even be born with. As St. Paul says, sin, or its symbols, blindness, has become embodied in me. It's incarnate in me. It manifests itself in all the physical deformities and illnesses that constantly threaten to overtake me, or again that I can be born with. Spiritual blindness has settled in us and over us like leprosy, like cancer. Its pallid symptoms manifesting in loneliness, sadness, nervousness, worry, depression, despair, finally even suicide, suicidal thoughts. We read in Genesis that the eyes of Adam and Eve were opened. But when their eyes were opened, they saw that they were naked. And the Holy Fathers of the Church, listening very closely to the Holy Scriptures, hear in that seeing they were naked, the tragedy that they were stripped of the robe of glory, the Holy Spirit, in which they had been clothed at their formation. And now they were clothed in darkness. They saw that they were naked, empty of God. They were spiritually blind. Their sin, their turning away from God, devastated them in both their soul and in their body. And we are their sons and daughters. Through no guilt of ours, or even our parents, we are born into this spiritual devastation, born spiritually blind and physically in so many different ways. And when our eyes are opened, that is to say, when our consciousness develops, we see that we are naked, that is, we see no robe of glory. Yet if we did not have the saints and their icons that we could see, we could believe that there is no such thing as a robe of glory, because our nakedness is all that we would know. The goal of many ancient religions and the philosophy was to liberate the soul from the body in the belief that the body was a tomb, alien to the naturally divine soul. But in the Christian faith, we believe that man is body and soul, and that in both our soul and in our body, we are dead. We're in spiritual darkness, because we understand death to be separation from God. Let's take careful note then of how the Lord heals the blind man this morning, and when he heals him. For it is an image of what happened to us in our baptism, in the Paschal mysteries of Christ. The eyes of the man born blind were opened, not by the serpent. They were opened by the Word of God, who became flesh of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary. He heals the blind man this morning with his bodily hands, and by means not just of his spittle and the pool of Siloam, which might be taken as images of the Holy Spirit, but also by means of the clay, which might be taken as an image of the most beloved Panagia and of his bride, the Church, or the mystery of his incarnation. And we learned that he opened the eyes of the blind man on the Sabbath, the day that he, as God, rested from creating the world, which he finished on the cross. The Pharisees complained that he did not keep the Sabbath, but in fact he did keep it. He kept it perfectly. The Sabbath was all about creation, and that's what he was doing when he was healing the blind man. The serpent opened the eyes of Adam and Eve, and they saw that they were naked. The Lord opens the eyes of the man born blind on the Sabbath, or in the mystery of his death. And given the liturgical season of Pascha that we're in, I cannot help but believe that this opening of the eyes of the blind man is connected to the angel of the Lord rolling away the stone to open the Lord's tomb at the midnight of the great and holy Sabbath. I'm caught by the fact that when the eyes of the man born blind were opened, he could not say that he knew Jesus, or that he knew anything about him. Let's say that he could not say because he did not yet see Jesus directly. Jesus had gone away. And so he did not yet know Jesus personally, immediately. He could say only what Jesus had done. He made clay, and he anointed my eyes, and he said to me, "Go to Siloam and wash," and when I did, I saw. The man born blind did not know Jesus until he saw him later. After he was expelled from the synagogue, he encounters the Lord. You could say that he encounters the Lord. He sees the Lord in his holy temple. That is to say, he sees God in the flesh, his body. This body that he received from the Holy Virgin. Seeing him, he immediately knows him as the Christ. As soon as the Lord speaks to him. Even as Mary Magdalene knew the Lord immediately when she saw him and heard him call her name. And like Mary Magdalene, the man born blind worships the Lord Jesus. Do we see in this inner movement from the blind man not knowing Jesus to the blind man knowing Jesus from seeing him? Can we see in this inner movement of this morning's gospel the mystery of the ascent from Pascha to Pentecost? Because we too can say, as we have been saying since Pascha night, Pascha morning, I should say. It feels like night, doesn't it? But it's morning. We have been saying what Christ has done. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death. He has opened my eyes that were blind. But at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descends on us and abides in us as fire. Or as light, warm light that gives life. This tells me that there's a hidden joy in Pentecost. Maybe even what Pentecost is all about. And that's that in the joy of Pentecost, by the receiving of the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of this fire, the gift of this warm light, the gift of sight, we are able to see Jesus, the true light, in the light of the Holy Spirit. And we see him in the robe of glory in which we were originally clothed, the Holy Spirit who has descended upon us. So I'm suggesting that the mystery of Pentecost is hidden. It's hidden, and it's very deep. It is the joy of coming to know Christ immediately in the beauty of his Holy Spirit. But going back to the man when he was healed by Jesus, when he did not yet know Jesus, even then what he did know was real. Why? Because unlike the knowledge of the Pharisees, which was from the study, the reading of the scriptures, which they completely missed, the blind man's knowledge was from his immediate experience. "This I know," he says, "I was blind, now I see." And he becomes a teacher to the teachers of the law. Experience is teaching the dry academic reading of books. The heart is teaching the mind. "This is a marvel," he says to them. "You don't know where he came from, and yet he opened my eyes." Never ever has anyone heard of anyone opening the eyes of one born blind. If this man were not from God, he wouldn't be able to do anything. As I said, the opening of the eyes of the man born blind is an image of our baptism and also of Pascha. All the words that tell the gospel this morning, all of those words are of the creation. I wish we had time to take you to the Greek and show you how it's all speaking about the creation. Our baptism, then, is the mystery of our recreation. It's the healing of our death and of our blindness in the liturgical and sacramental mystery of the Lord's Pascha. And it is this joy, this tangible joy, that this experience of a real transformation from death to life, from darkness to light, from loneliness to the joy of the love of God. This is what I hear in this morning's reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Such a beautiful story. The centurion about to kill himself because the prisoners, if they had been normal prisoners, would have fled, but they didn't. And because of their compassion for the centurion, he could feel in them, he could feel it, this warmth, this love, this joy of the transformation of the resurrection of Christ that had transformed those disciples. And he himself is drawn to that and is saved. He's saved. He himself enters into that joy. I would have us to understand that our baptism is not in the past tense. It's in the perfect tense. The past tense refers to something that's done and gone in the past. The perfect tense refers to something that was begun in the past and continues up to the present. I have been baptized. Not necessarily I was baptized, but I have been baptized. Its effects are still with me. When we came up from the font, we did not leave our baptism behind. The rituals of baptism, let's go through them. Confession, turning westward to renounce the devil, then turning eastward, vowing to unite ourselves to Christ, receiving the faith of the church, receiving it now as our own, then following the priest and image of Christ to the font, being washed in the font, being clothed with a robe of light, anointed with holy chrism, drawing near in faith and love, ascending to the amvon to receive the body of Christ as our food and drink, the very body that has trampled down death by death and given life to those in the tombs. These baptismal rites were the fashioning in us, the creation in us, as the Savior this morning fashions the clay to give new eyes to the man born blind. These baptismal rites were the fashioning in us of the skeletal structure, the bones of the new man that came to be in us in those living waters. Those baptismal rites carried the breath of the Lord, who through those rites and in those rites breathed his spirit into our mortal bodies, into our mortal bodies, and into our dead souls, and made us truly living. We didn't just announce you're saved. We dunked you in the water. Not just once, we dunked you in the water 3 times. And you got soaking wet. And then we anointed you with chrism. Real oil. Fragrant oil made by the Metropolitan. Following a recipe that has been handed down all the way from the apostles. From bishop to bishop, patriarch to patriarch. We were not just pronounced saved. Our whole being was involved, was engaged. We invoked the Holy Spirit on those waters. And so they became deified waters, filled with the Holy Spirit, so that when you got soaking wet in those waters, you were soaking wet in the waters of the Holy Spirit. So that the breath of the Lord breathed on us. The breath of the Lord breathed on us in a tangible, physical way. And so both our bodies and our souls became truly living. Can you see now in those baptismal rites, which is now the structure, the skeleton of your life in Christ, can you see how our life has been united to the Lord's Pascha and is now transfigured into an ascent in his Holy Spirit, up to our own land, even as we read from Ezekiel on Holy Saturday. So how is it that we still suffer from emotional and physical issues, blindness even. How is it? Let's not be blind like the Pharisees. I believe that the answer to that question is a truth that can be seen only through the immediate experience of our eyes being opened. In his death, Jesus, the true light, the resurrection, and the life, filled our death and its image, our blindness, with himself. Can you see then how when we unite ourselves to Christ, our dying and our suffering, our blindness, both physical and psychological, whatever it might be, is transfigured. Our sufferings are transfigured. Our afflictions, our disorders, I mean, they're all transfigured into the cross, by which our death is destroyed and the eyes of our soul are opened. How does one come to see such a divine mystery in oneself? The Lord himself tells us this morning, by acknowledging that we're blind, not being like the Pharisees who think they're not blind. Because when we confess our blindness, our spiritual death, are we not speaking the truth? And when we speak the truth, are we not stepping into the light of the Holy Spirit, in which we see Christ directly? That is a mystery that we cannot understand until we do it. And then it happens to us. May it be so. Most holy Theotokos, save us. Glory to Jesus Christ.